Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, which, Brian, congratulations on throwing another, what I've heard, successful conference, especially in the face of COVID and some of the restrictions that are still around. Hopefully next year I'll be there. And hey, the way things are going, I don't want to jinx it, but it looks like that should happen. We'll keep in touch though, Brian. Let's talk about some of the important news, more data that has really driven these markets and has been in the headlines throughout this week. That deals mostly with inflation. We are seeing higher than expected inflation. And I think even more importantly, it looks like a re-acceleration of inflation to the upside. We saw a spike in inflation, last year, and it has even carried into this year. And now throughout this year, we kept hearing the word transitory, but with this re-acceleration, that really changes the narrative here because, hey, if inflation starts to pick up to the upside, I think that will surprise a lot of investors. That is leading to some good gains in precious metals. It's even driving the US dollar higher, which is a little contradictory. But Brian, let's start off with this inflation data. What's been your takeaway with the inflation data we've seen this week and that re-acceleration?
Well, the takeaway from me is that gold is, imagine this, now trading as an inflation hedge of all things. And it hasn't for a long time because everything's been driven by central bank policy, and the markets for years now have looked at higher inflation as how it impacts future Fed policy. And because higher inflation implies a more hawkish Fed response, they've actually sold gold down when we've got higher inflation numbers, and they bought up the dollar and they've sent yields higher. So typically, higher yields and a higher dollar, a stronger dollar, has been negative for gold. Yesterday, when we got the CPI, or Wednesday, when we got the CPI numbers, the dollar strengthened, yields rose, and so did gold. Gold exploded higher. So that's what's interesting to me, is there that disconnect with the dollar and rates and the reconnect between gold and higher inflation. Now, we're going to continue to see high inflation numbers. There's a bit of a risk ahead in that this was a very hot CPI number, and we can still have high inflation going forward, but perhaps not as high as this CPI reading. So the markets tend to factor in not where you are, but where you're headed. So there is a little bit of a risk that the next CPI number, if it's, say, 5.5%, might prompt a little bit of weakness in gold. But right now, it all looks good for gold. I think we haven't gotten wages really impacting inflation numbers yet. We certainly haven't had housing costs, which are a huge component, the biggest component of the CPI calculation. But those have not really impacted the number because of the way it's calculated for the CPI. That's coming up. We will have high inflation going forward. It's just a question of whether we're going to duplicate these kinds of numbers, I think, over the next month or two. In the meantime, gold's cleared some clear technical levels that I think are now strong support, and it looks good going forward.
Yeah, Brian, it's nice to see the response in the precious metals. Just a question, though, about the unique environment you mentioned about the dollar going up where gold was going up, but rates were also going up. So it's kind of counterintuitive. You think that would have pressured the precious metals yesterday. But is it possible, Brian, that people went into the safe havens, which would be, you know, gold and the dollar, but didn't go into bonds? Because as we were discussing off mic, why in the world would you want to have a bond? You know, why would you want a treasury at 1.5 or 1.6% or even 2% if inflation CPI readings are coming in at 6? These are the most negative real rates we've seen possibly ever. So why would anybody want bonds? So is it possible that that's why the rates rose, but that people went into the safe haven play of the dollar, but also gold as a safe haven? Is that possibly what we're seeing?
Yeah, I think so. And it's all part and parcel of, if you see higher inflation, what do you do? You demand a higher yield from your bonds, and that's what the market did. So that's why yields rose and prices went down. And the dollar, that's the one that's counterintuitive. And that is still based purely, I think, on the trader's view of what the Fed is going to do, that if they raise rates or start to hike rates sooner than the market's currently anticipating, then that implies a stronger dollar. But the fact is, the inflation number right off the bat shows you that the dollar should be weaker. It's a sign that that's kind of the last stronghold of the algo traders is the dollar index. That's really just based on Fed policy right now and what the Fed is going to do and what those headlines will be. It is very likely, and the market is currently discounting a much more hawkish and quicker reaction by the Fed. I heard yesterday that the futures markets were projecting a 60% chance of a first rate hike by next June instead of 2023, when most people expected it due to the dot plots and the like, which is pretty quick, but that's still 7-8 months away. And that jump in the dollar since we got those inflation numbers really, I think, is very counterintuitive. And it's hard to call the markets wrong, but I think it's wrongheaded for anybody to be bullish on the dollar right now.
So Brian, one other thing that we do need to consider is that the economy is also growing at a pretty good clip. We look at the GDP Now forecast out of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. That estimate right now for the fourth quarter is 8.2%. Now, I know that these GDP Now forecasts change quite drastically, but that is something we also need to consider, is that we have inflation, but we also seem to be having still a strong economy. People are out there spending money. How do you balance that out? Because a strong economy does support stronger currency. But again, the Fed, they want a strong economy. They don't want probably this much inflation. It's an interesting scenario. Have you seen this scenario in the past? And how do you balance out the fact that the economy is also doing strong in the face of this inflation?
Yeah, well, you know, the story just a couple of weeks ago was that the economy was having a dramatic slowdown, and the GDP Now numbers really reflected that. But that's always a moving target. That calculation is based on data to date. And as more data comes in, it gets closer and closer to the final mark and kind of vectors in on it. So early data in that calculation is implying a rebound in the economy. But I think that's really a sign of the fact that people are just spending a lot of money right now. There's a lot of money in the system. It's kind of oozing out of every pore in the economy. There's just so much out there right now. And you add in the fact of these higher inflation, and people want to spend money before prices go higher. We're starting to get that anticipation of inflation embedded in people's psyche, in consumer psyches, which leads to more spending. And that's the danger that the Fed really and economists dread, is they don't want inflation expectations to become embedded. That's starting to happen, and people are starting to ramp up their spending. So ironically, when you start to get higher inflation, you can get that kind of adrenaline boost in consumer activity as people just try to spend money. And as the actual value or dollar value of their expenditures rises on a nominal basis as prices rise.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon where people are going out and trying to buy something of real value before it goes up in price. So whether it's stockpiling a little extra food or our beleaguered precious metal sector, maybe they're even finally stockpiling a little gold and silver now, Brian. So it's interesting, as you noted, that the precious metals broke out of some key levels just this week on this news, but they've been really running since the end of the third quarter, where they got in that danger zone and people were worried they were going to break down. And we've had a good rally from October into November. Do you think we'll continue to see this sustained, or are we getting near a short-term top, in your opinion? And how are you playing the current setup in the precious metals based on this rally that we're seeing?
I think, and of course I'm knocking on wood and crossing fingers and toes as I'm saying it, but I think this one is looking more like a sustained rally. I think this is looking like what we have been waiting for. You know, my thesis has been that everything is moving much more quickly and to a greater degree this time around vis-a-vis post-2008. Back then, when the Fed finally decided to start raising rates after, 7 years, close to 7 years, that first rate hike in December of 2015 marked the bottom of the gold bear market. And, you know, we had predicted that in Gold Newsletter, and that's just what happened. This time around, I was predicting that maybe the announcement of tapering would be enough to bottom out gold and get the rally started. It looks like that is what has happened, and that because things are moving more quickly and because of that past experience, the market is looking back and saying tightening is not a bad thing for gold, especially in an era when we have some doubts that the Fed will even be able to tighten very much at all because of the impact on the markets that it's already inflated and because of the constraints of the high debt right now and debt service costs. So what is the next shoe to drop, I think, or the next shoes to drop right now are the Fed's attempt to actually hike rates, which I think could provide another boost for the metals. That could be, as I mentioned, as near as 7 months away. The other thing that could provide a big boost for the markets, and I think will be the biggest boost, is when it becomes obvious at some point that the Fed can't really raise rates at all or get too far down that road before it's forced to turn back again. We saw that happen in August, September of 2019, when it started QE again, stealthily, and would not admit that it was, but it added $500 billion to its balance sheet while saying it wasn't. And that was well in advance of COVID. So, you know, I think we're going to see some dramatic events over the next 6 months, over the next year, as the Fed tries to advance down this path. And I think any really result of that is going to be bullish for the metals. So I think this really looks good for the metals. I don't think we've topped off. I think we have a good runway ahead of us going into the end of the year.
Yeah, it's a very different environment right now because, let's face it, traders for over 30 years have not experienced this kind of environment where we have this type of inflation being reported in the data. And, well, the central bank's still very much near zero when it comes to their rates. It's just an interesting scenario, right? And it's uncharted territory. So right now, all eyes are on that inflation data. That really does seem to be driving the markets because of the surprise to the upside. Brian, in Gold Newsletter, you do cover a lot of the junior companies. And look, a lot of our listeners also invest in these junior companies. What's catching your eye right now? Is there a certain stage of company that you like or any companies that you care to share with us that you think are set up well in this environment, but even more so with the work that they're doing?
The market is literally just starting to respond over the last couple of days, the junior market. The producers have been actually outperforming gold over the past few weeks, but we really haven't had the juniors benefit yet. They're just starting to do that as we speak. Some of the companies I think that are of value right now are ones that actually have resources and or explorers. So they're benefiting from, you know, that balance sheet bottom line of resources, but also from exploration news. So I like Cassiar Gold in that respect. That was widely recommended at the recent New Orleans Investment Conference, including by me. But a number of newsletter writers and analysts recommended that company. I like Heliostar because I think it's a real value right now. It's at the lower end of its range since it came out as a public company. And the news has generally been pretty good. They have almost 400,000 ounces of actual resource as well at a grade of like 13 grams per ton gold. So, you know, that's underpinning that value. And I think the exploration news, now that they know the targets, I think that's going to get better as we go on. And they actually are getting some good results from a Mexico property as well. So that's really good. Libero Copper and Gold is raising money right now to drill its Makoa Copper project, which is a potentially very large project in Colombia, already has some extraordinary historical drill results. So we're going to see news coming from that. And I like that around these levels. I should say I own Cassiar and I own Libero. I do not currently own Heliostar, though I would like to. I think Minera Alamos is a good buy right now. There's some selling, it seems like, from some big players in that stock right now that need to raise cash. It just started production, and I think it's at very advantageous or attractive levels right now. I'm actually in the market myself trying to buy some of that. I don't own it yet, but I'm trying to take advantage of these prices myself.
All right, Brian, it's always great having you on the show, buddy. And hey, it's nice talking more positively about the metals and about some of the moves we're seeing in the stocks, now also the juniors as well. So hopefully this trend continues through the end of this year. We'll be talking about it as we have you back on the show on the regular basis that we always do. Brian, it's great chatting with you, buddy. We'll post a link to the gold newsletter below this interview, and we'll chat in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.